to the church in Galatia. So in verse 11 he says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. But may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen." Father, as we turn to your word, we pray that you may enlighten us so that we may love the old cross, that it will have a wondrous attraction for us, that it will have a beauty that takes our breath away, that we will be glad to share its shame and reproach. Write it on our hearts, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Good Friday service. And Ludwig's already prayed for us, so let's jump straight into this passage. As I was thinking about this service, particularly focusing on Jesus' death on the cross, it carries such a weight to it. And somehow when we think about it, there's this heaviness. There is this real awe that we come and we think about it when we look at the cross. And as I was wrestling through this passage in Galatians 6 this week, and thinking about what Paul is saying, that he says, in fact, as we read there, and Ludwig slowed down at that point, in verse 14, it says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I kept asking myself, how is it that one can boast in the cross? How can one boast in something as gruesome, as tragic, as terrible as that seems? And obviously Paul has different insights. He has a different way of looking at the cross than maybe what we do at first glance. And so this morning, as we do come together and we're reminded that Jesus died on the cross for us, I hope that we can leave here not only being reminded of it, but boasting in it. That all of us leaving here this morning, we will be able to boast, as Paul says, "May I boast in nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so I hope that that will be true for you this morning when you leave here, that you will want to boast in nothing other than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask that question, how can Paul want to only boast in the cross of Christ? How is that possible? Well, when you read, that's why I've got that section in Galatians that we looked at, we're looking at from 11 through to 18, is important because obviously there's a context, and like all passages, things aren't just said randomly. There is a context, there's a reason why Paul is saying this, and he's addressing an issue in the church in Galatia in particular, where there seems to be this immense teaching and focus on law. The church is going back to an old way of thinking about law, thinking about those sorts of things like circumcision as one example. And this is the big issue that he's addressing here. And Paul is addressing the issue that the people that are doing it, they are doing it to be able to boast in their achievements, their accomplishments. They're wanting to boast in the flesh. And Paul is saying that the flesh is not worth boasting in. achievements are not worth boasting in. So again, we ask the question, how can one boast in the cross? And as we think this through, Paul is talking in a context where people are living a life that is leading back to religion rather than serving God through Jesus Christ and what he has done. And so when Paul looks at the cross of Christ, he no longer sees the shame that so many people understand it to bear. Paul begins to see something far greater, far more incredible. Just to give us further understanding of what was going on in that time is John Stott. He says this, "That which the average Roman citizen regarded as an object of shame, disgrace, and even disgust was for Paul his pride, his boasting, and glory." So for most people in that time, that time and era in which they were living, a cross was something that was a symbol of shame. It was intended for a person that was the worst of the worst. And it was used for that person to be an example of what will happen if you break the rules, if you break the law, if you defy the governing authority of the time. And here Paul is saying that that very thing that most of society says is a shame, is a disgrace, is in fact something that he boasts in. So I hope we feel that weight. I hope you feel that there's this tension between something that is terrible on one side, but on another side, it's absolutely marvelous, absolutely wonderful. So I've put there a few things just to consider. As we come to the cross, we also need to recognize what it does. The cross flips everything on its head, turns everything upside down. And as we come to it, you start to see how the cross does that. The cross and what Christ did on it is countercultural. The very fact that Christ died on the cross was upside down, if we think about it. Jesus, by definition and according to the way he lived his life, was undeserving of it. And yet he died on it. And so when you look to Jesus on that cross and you think about what he did there, something that was shameful becomes something wondrous. And something that was once a symbol of death can lead to now life. And where there was sin before, holiness comes from it. And further than that, when Jesus died on the cross, things moved from rules and regulations and religion to freedom, free access to come to God. Do you notice how that turns? Everything turns upside down through this one act that Jesus did. Shame to wonder, death to life, sin to holy, regulations to freedom, and the list can go on. You can add more. If you start thinking through it, what Jesus did on the cross, how it changed things. It was a changing moment in history. It was a moment where religion was done away with as the world had known. And as Jesus died on that cross, he brought about access, freedom. And we're reminded, of, if we think about the story that we are told, when Jesus is on that cross, that as he dies, that curtain in the Holy of Holies is torn. And it grants us access to come before God. Through Christ's death, we can freely now come. No longer through rules and regulations. And so Peter Bolt says here, and I'll read it for us, "Jesus' death now spells the end of religion. No rules, regulations, or rituals are to be imposed between God and humanity. The distance these created between sinful humanity and the holy God has been done away with from God's side. There is now free access to God, the Father, through the work of the Son on the cross. God has now come close." It's beautiful words, how he has put it, how he's phrased it. And if you're wondering what he's saying, or maybe it's still confusing, if you just flip back in Galatians 5, and Paul says it, 5 verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But understand, that doesn't give us liberty to live as we want and do as we want, because Paul crosses that bridge as well in verse 13. So 5 verse 13, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Now again, Paul is talking in the context of living within a community of believers. But we are reminded that as we come to the cross, there is freedom. And that freedom is a life that is lived freely to God and can be lived out freely to one another. We no longer come because we have to. We no longer have to do things out of a religious system, but we are free to choose to follow Jesus Christ. We are free to serve one another. And so when you think about the cross, I have this image in my head of chains literally being broken off. And it becomes the opposite of what the world sees as shame. Because now when we look to the cross, we no longer see something that binds us and holds us back. But we see something marvelous that's breaking the bonds of slavery, breaking the chains, and freeing us to choose to follow him once more, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a catch. And like we sang in the song just a little while, the last song that we sang, there needs to come a point in our lives where we deny ourselves. And so I've said that we can only boast when we have seen the invitation that God has extended to us through Jesus Christ, and once we've denied ourselves. Because we can't live our lives and pursue our things as well as try and pursue God and accept his invitation. We have to accept his invitation and deny ourselves. Deny the way we want to live. And it's in that we have freedom, and it's in that we can boast in him. So it's when we see the cross of Christ as a wondrous thing that he has endured, we begin to see the life, the holiness, and the freedom it offers. So I hope that as we look to the cross this morning, as we contemplate what the cross has done for us, that no longer does it bear this frightening, horrible thing. The symbol of shame is done away with. But when we look to it, we are filled with awe and wonder and thankfulness. Because it's when we see what Christ has done for us on the cross, when we see the freedom that it offers, that we see the life that he extends to us. We begin to see the wonder of it, the beauty of it. So another way of phrasing it, I thought that helpful way of thinking of the cross is it's terribly terrific. When you look to the cross, it is terribly terrific. Because at first glance, you want to think it's a terrible thing. But in fact, it is terrific for us. Because there is no other way that we can come to the Father except through Christ Jesus. And he is the one that endured the cross for us. And I do believe that through what he has done for us on the cross, we can now boast. So let's read those words of Paul in verse 14 of chapter 6 again. It says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul can say that because he now knows what's most important. He now knows what his value is. The religious way of living, he no longer lives according to, because now he lives to Christ. And all the issues, all the circumstances, all these things that he's busy addressing here in Galatians, he's saying, when you live for Christ, you have freedom. And that's why he says that through Christ, the world has been crucified to me. And I to the world. that all the things of the world, all their allures, all the attractions of the world is done away with when you start living toward Christ. And it's not about how great you are. It's not about your achievements, not about your accomplishments. It's not about what the world tells you and the way the world challenges you to live. It's not about how good you are. It's not about your deeds that you get right or wrong. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done for you on that cross. An old rugged cross that we can one day exchange for a crown. So I hope that this morning, as we're contemplating, as we're singing these songs, as we're thinking through this passage, and as we're going to share in communion in a little bit, that when you look to the cross, the burden of it is removed, and the joy of it, what Christ has done for you through it, excites you, fills you with immense wonder. Because if it wasn't for Him dying on the cross, we would not be sitting here today. If it wasn't for Him dying on the cross and enduring it, we wouldn't be sitting here as we are today. So when we look to Christ, when we're reminded during this time of what He has done for us on the cross, may we truly boast in the freedom that Jesus Christ has given us. Freedom to serve Him, freedom to love Him, freedom to come to the Father, and freedom to serve and to love one another. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You died on the cross for us. We thank You. You endured something that we struggle to understand. We struggle to imagine it, for that matter. That You have turned the world upside down. By dying on that cross, You have undone all the wrong, all the things that seem incorrect in this world. All the shame, all the death, all the sin, all hardship. Through You dying on the cross, You have undone those things. So that when we look to You, we see freedom. We see life, and there is hope. And as we rest in You, and as we turn to You, Lord, may our lives boast of Your goodness. Boast of what You have done for us. Lord, maybe this is still difficult for us. Maybe we find it still a burden. Or maybe it's difficult to weigh up what You have truly done for us. Lord, I pray that it may become a reality. That the first thing on our lips will be Christ Jesus. And that we have no other access to come before You other than through Him. And Lord, we thank You. And may our thanks on our lips never be enough. That we continue to turn to You moment by moment, second by second, constantly aware of your goodness. And Lord, as we also come together now and meet around Your table, may we truly do so in remembrance of Jesus Christ, that His body was broken and His blood was spilled. But may we not do so in a morbid way, but in a way that is filled with joy, in a way that is filled with thankfulness, in a way in which we can boast, where the world would say we should be ashamed. And Lord, we thank You. Again and again we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.